Now I wish I did not dismiss the children downstairs, because the first part of our text this morning is an admonition to the children, or for children to obey their parents. And as I scan our congregation this morning, I don't think I see much children. Actually, there are some children. Some of your parents are still alive, even though you're in your 50s, 60s, your parents are still alive. So we do have some adult children here. So the first part of Paul's message this morning, our text, would be relevant for you and for me. In fact, in the day when this was written, children were actually responsible to particularly their fathers until their father died. Until their father died. So, we're not living in that culture. In fact, the Bible tells us that, you know, when a man gets married, he ought to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why Paul made that statement in Ephesians chapter 5, passage we looked at last week, because in the day then when Paul wrote this epistle, as I said, Roman citizens and the Greeks, as I said, the children owed obedience to their father until their father died. So this morning we want to talk to children and parents. Not everyone here this morning, or not everyone who is listening to my voice, are biological parents. I am not a biological parent, but in my years of ministry and as a teacher many years ago, the Lord has given to me, I believe, many spiritual children. In fact, if you are a member of Scarborough Baptist Church, then you are under the authority of God's word. And as your pastor, I have the authority to give you direction from God's word. Not my word, but the Lord's word. And let me also say that when we come to church, we come also not to learn new things, but we also come to be reminded of what we already know. And this passage this morning, we already know what Paul is saying here. But we ought to be reminded of these instructions that the Bible has given to us. So let me read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So in these four verses, we are given instructions to children and parents. Last week we looked at the instructions that Paul gave to wives and husbands. Later on in Ephesians chapter 6, we would see that he also gives instructions to servants or slaves and masters. So all of these relationships, wives and husbands, children, parents, slaves and masters, were the very fabric of the Greco-Roman society. And in these relationships, you find that there are those who ought to be subject to one person in the relationship. So wives ought to be subject to the husbands, children to parents, slaves to masters. But let us remember what Paul says in Ephesians 5:21, that in the church we must be submitting to one another. So let's keep that in mind. That's very important. We all ought to be submissive to each other. So these relationships were very important. And the instructions that are given, Martin Luther, the great reformer, he referred to them as, it's a German word, Hausstaffel. I was speaking with Lottie last night. Lottie is German, and she told me that this is an old German word. It's not used anymore. It's spelled Haustafel, Hausstaffel. And I asked her what this word really means, and she said that back in the day in Germany, they used slates to write instructions so that people can see it and obey those instructions. Parents wrote instructions on the slates and place it on the side of inside of the house so that the children can see the duties that they ought to follow. And she told me that it's very similar to when you go shopping and there are signs outside, sale signs, so that everyone can see. It's very similar to that. It's also similar to parents who every day they give instructions to their children as to the chores they ought to do on a daily basis. Do you do that for Jasmine, Sharon? I have a pastor friend who, he and his wife had 7 children. And the wife, every day, she made a list of instructions for the 7 children to follow. So for example, John had to make sure he made his bed up, do the dishes, make sure he cleaned the table after dinner. And each of them had certain duties they ought to follow on a daily basis. So that's similar to Hausstaffel. The duties or household or domestic duties that members of the household ought to follow. And that's what Paul is doing here. He is giving instructions, household duties, domestic duties for children and parents to follow so that they can live together wisely. They can live as a family, carefully and accurately. So every home must indeed have instructions for children and every member of the family to follow, or else there will be chaos in families. So in our text, Paul is writing, of course, to Christians. He's writing to people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to Christian children and Christian parents. So may I say that Let us not take these instructions and apply them to those outside of the body of Christ. These are instructions that are given, as Paul says in chapter 5 and verse 18, and so on, be filled with the Spirit, knowing the will of God. These instructions are for those who are led, those who are controlled by the Spirit of God. It's not for unbelievers. It will be great if fathers and mothers who are not Christians would seek to obey these commands. But if you're hearing my voice this morning and you're not a child of God, I would admonish you to come to Him first and take Him to be a Savior. And then you can truly follow these instructions. And then your home can be a home where the Spirit of God dwells, a home where there is prayer, a home where there is the reading of scriptures, a home where children are taught the Bible, a home where they're taught how to pray. I also encourage you to just read that excerpt in our bulletin this morning. It's a good piece on training your children to a knowledge of the Bible. So let us get into our text this morning. And the first thing we see is that Paul gives instructions to children. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And the implication here I see, first of all, is that children were actually present when the Bible was read. If they were not present, Paul would not have given these instructions to children. But they were present. And the early church actually met in homes. That's where the Bible was taught, first of all. Not in schools, but in homes. In fact, in the Greco-Roman society, the mother was the one who taught the child up to the age of 7. The mother was responsible for teaching, nurturing the child up to the age of 7. And after the age of 7, the father takes over. And he is an absolute and total control of that child from the age of 7 until he dies. He's the one who teaches the child, particularly a son, a trade, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember he was a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. The father even finds a wife for the son. And when the son grows older and he's married, the father is still in control of that son. And in fact, everything that the son has belongs to the father. So Paul instructs the children to obey your parents, notice, in the Lord. And that's important. Now, he's not saying here that children should obey the parents who are Christians. When he says in the Lord, that's not what he meant. The in the Lord is not parents in the Lord. But he's saying here that children should obey their parents regarding that which pertains to the Lord. In other words, if a parent tells a child to do that which is contrary to anything relating to the Lord, the child should not obey. Anything that's contrary to the will of God, anything that will lead the child away from Christ. Remember, Paul is writing to Christian children and parents. And the primary duty of parents, we would see this later on, Christian parents in particular, is to teach the children the way of Christ. That's a primary responsibility of parents. We'll see this later on. Children, obey your parents. Very interesting, that word obey, the Greek word for obey, actually comes from the same word that means to listen. The same word for listen. So when a parent gives a child a command or tells a child to do something and the child hears what the parent says to do and the child does not do it, the child has not really listened because the child did not obey. Listening and obeying are synonymous. Because one can hear an instruction, but if they do not follow it, they really have not heard. It's the same thing in the Christian life. When God instructs us to obey Him, if we read the scriptures and we know it from cover to cover, and we do not obey God's word, then we have not really listened to Him. We have not really heard what He says. That's why many times in the scriptures, the Bible says, hear my words, listen to my words. The scripture could also say, obey my words instead of listen. Because listening is obeying. And one thing we know for sure, that it is very difficult for children to listen. Listening is a very difficult exercise, may I say, not only for children, but for all of us. And in fact, the older we grow, it's the harder our ears become, because we become stuck in our ways. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The word for Lord here is the word master. And so when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, in addition to instructing children to obey their parents in things pertaining to the Lord, Paul is also saying here that when children obey their parents, they're actually obeying the Lord. Because God has given children, parents, to act on behalf of God. In fact, in the Roman society and the Greek society back then, parents were, particularly fathers, fathers were to their children what God was to the world, or what God is to the world. Right. Parents are to the children what God is to the world. So, for example, God brought the world into existence. Right? He created the world out of nothing, and He sustains the world. He provides for the world, for everything in the world. Animate and inanimate subjects, God provides for all. Well, similarly, parents are the ones who brought children into the world. And they are the ones who are responsible for providing and protecting the children, even as God does for the world. And so when children obey their parents in things pertaining to the Lord, they are ultimately obeying the Lord. By disobeying the parents, they are disobeying the Lord. Now, I must put a caveat here, even though I said earlier that these instructions are given to Christian parents and children. But I must say there are many Christian homes where children are not taught the scriptures. Children are not taught the way of God. In fact, there are many Christian homes where children are fearful of their parents. There are many Christian homes where children are actually, unfortunately, are abused. Christian parents. So, these instructions are given to children, but again, we must remember that there are individual homes where children are not happy, they don't feel safe, and that should not be, especially in Christian homes. And that's true. You think of children, they're very innocent. The minds are easily bent. And unfortunately, in our day, children are being taken advantage of, both inside and outside the body of Christ. But let us, as God's people, love children and take care of them in their innocence. So Paul says to children, obey your parents, and then he gives a reason why Christian children should obey their Christian parents. Notice it says, for this is right. Not many places in the scriptures you find where it says, for this is right. But here in this particular case, Paul gives a reason for children to obey their parents, and the reason is that it is right. Why is it right for children, particularly Christian parents, to obey Christian children to obey their parents? Why is it right? Well, it is right because God has established that law within the home. God has established this relationship between children and parents, this structure within the home. And so if God was the one who established this structure within the home, then it is right for children to obey their parents. And the opposite is that it is wrong for them not to obey their parents. For this is right. And the word for right here is the same word that we use for righteousness. It's not just a good thing, but it is right in the sense that it conforms to God's will. That's what righteousness means. It is to be conformed to the will and desire of God. And so for children to obey their parents in the Lord is to be conformed to God's will and his desire for children. Now, let us, you know, we're living in the 21st century, and it seems as if Paul would write this verse today. He would say, fathers, obey your children. Because when we look around in our society, it seems as if children are the ones who are taking the lead in many homes. It seems as if children are the boss. They tell the parents what to do, where to go, what to buy for them. That's the 21st century. And, you know, we have something in Canada called the CAS, the Children's Aid Society. It does a lot of good things, and it's good to have that society to protect children from abusive parents in an abusive society. But some good things often is not so good. Because children today, they know which number to call, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if there might be children today who would call the Children's Aid Society if their mother or father said, I want you to come and read the Bible with me. I want you to pray to Jesus Christ. It may not be happening today, but maybe the time will come when children will be able to sue their children, their parents, Christian parents, for telling them to read the Bible or even come to church. That might be considered abuse in this generation. In fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that disobedience to parents is one of the evidence that we are living in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. One of the marks of the last days, disobedience of children to the parents. And we have long been there in the last days. In fact, this was happening, I believe, way back in Paul's day, but it's becoming worse and worse, and it's escalated more and more. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. And then Paul, in verse 2, he uses another word as he instructs children. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Think highly of your parents. Now, not many children today can think highly of their parents, unfortunately. There are many children who just cannot because of the bad experiences they had with their parents. They cannot come to the point where they can esteem their parents highly. But that's not the rule, that's the exception. The rule is that children should honor their parents. Think very highly. And that's a given. It's a given because parents are the ones who have brought us, children, into the world. And they deserve to be respected and to be honored. And Paul is quoting here from the Old Testament. Honor your father and mother. Because notice at the end of verse 2, there is a parenthesis. He says, this is the first commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise. I've read a number of commentators, and it's very difficult to understand what Paul is saying here. Because in verse 3, he tells us what that promise is. See that? So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now let us, first of all, go to where Paul is quoting this. We find it in Exodus chapter 20. And verse 12, one of the Ten Commandments, right? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. the Ten Commandments given to the Israelites, God's people. This is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. The Bible says, notice, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Exodus 20, verse 12. And there are other places where this commandment is given to children in the Old Testament. But what's difficult to get here is that the Bible says that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 6 in our text. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Why is it difficult to understand what Paul is saying here? Well, it is difficult because there are many children who have been obedient to their parents and their lives were cut off at a short age, young age. They did not live long on the earth. So to me, it doesn't seem as if Paul is saying here that every child who obeys his parent will live a long life on earth. Chronologically speaking, numerically speaking, doesn't mean that you will live up to 90 plus years, because evidence does not match with this. So what is Paul saying here? Well, what is he saying? Well, he says two things. He says, so that it may be well with you. It may be well with you. So for a child to be obedient to his or her parents, the promise is that this child will, it will be well with this child. It doesn't say that the child will be well, but it will be well with the child. In other words, I believe Paul is saying here that God will be pleased with that child. That God will honor this child, the one who obeys his or her parents, will be in relationship with God that is well-pleasing. And then it says that you may live long on the earth. Very interesting, that word for live long is not used very often in the New Testament. It's a very strange word. And it simply means that you may have a long time. A long time. Or long lived. And interesting, the word that's used here for long live is the word for chronological time. So that's what makes it difficult, because it doesn't necessarily mean that if a child is obedient to their parent that they will have long chronological life. But that's what the scripture says. And maybe Paul is referring here not so much to physical life, but spiritual life. Maybe he's referring here to life with God in eternity. Because what difference does it make if one lives a long life on earth for 99 years and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer? Doesn't worth it. What's more important is to have spiritual life. That is true life. That is what lasts forever. And so a child who, to me, is obedient to their parent is given evidence that they do actually have eternal life, that they are filled with the Spirit, they are led by the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. That you may live long on the earth. The Bible says that God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth. But I want you to hold it here. Because in the Old Testament, this was actually literal. In the Old Testament, a child who was disobedient to the parents, you know what happened? They were stoned. In Deuteronomy chapter 21. And aren't you glad that you're not living under the law? The Old Testament law? Because if you were a child and you were disobedient, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22 around there. Actually, let's go up to Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. It says, if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. That's what happened to a rebellious son under the law of Israel. He was placed in the gates of the city, and the elders stone him to death. That's the fate of a disobedient son. Do you know who was called a glutton and a drunkard in the New Testament? The Pharisees. Someone whispered Jesus. So in truth and in fact, Jesus Christ is the one who is spoken of here. Because the leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the scribes, they considered him a glutton and a drunkard. Why? Because he walked in fellowship with the sinners of his day, those who were considered to be outside the pale of God's grace. And so they referred to him as a glutton and a drunkard. One who did not obey the law. And what happened to him? What did they do to him? They nailed him to the cross. So Jesus Christ was the rebellious son, as far as they were concerned. But in nailing him to the cross, they were actually fulfilling God's will. But that's what happened to a rebellious son in the Old Testament. Thank God we are not living, well, you know, the law was not given to Gentiles. It was given to Israel, right? And we have to keep it within the parameters of God's revelation. But think about it. If you were an Israelite back then, and if we are still living under the law today, that's what would have happened. If that was the case today, then there will be no children in any homes. There will be no one here this morning, because we are all guilty of being stubborn and rebellious in the presence of God. But it is good, it is right for children to obey their parents. So what does Paul say now about parents and their responsibilities towards their children? He talks to fathers directly. Notice in verse 4 of Ephesians 6, fathers. And you may ask yourself, why doesn't he mention mothers? He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And the reason he does not mention mothers here is because the fathers were the ones who were responsible for the bringing up of the children, particularly from the age of 7 and beyond. They were responsible. The father was responsible for teaching the child a trade, for teaching the child ethics, teaching him morality, teaching him the scriptures. That was the responsibility of the father in particular. And so we can apply to our society today, it has not changed. Fathers are responsible for the nurturing and the teaching of their children, sons and daughters, the way to God. If you're a Christian father, God has placed this responsibility upon you. Not your wife, not the child's mother, but you, father, you are responsible because you are the head of the home. And that's your task. Which means that Christian fathers ought to know the Bible if they ought to teach their children the Bible. You cannot teach your child what you do not know. And moreover, teaching here does not only mean giving instructions by word, but giving instruction by your life. Because there are many things that are more often caught than taught. Morality is not taught, but is caught. Children learn what they live. They learn what they see. Not so much what they hear, but what they see. And so it's so important for fathers in particular to teach their children by their life. So notice what Paul says. First of all, he uses a negative. He says, fathers, do not exasperate, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not provoke your children to anger. Do not do things or say things to cause your children to get upset and get exasperated. Don't do it, Paul says. Because anger is not helpful for the Christian life. It's not helpful for anyone. And so Paul says to fathers in particular, do not instigate your children for them to become angry. And every father knows if he does it, how he does it, and he should stop doing it. Don't do things or say things to make your children become angry. Don't provoke them to anger. Provoke your wife, but not your children. So instead of that, instead of provoking your children to anger, Paul says, you should bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up or nourish them. That's a nice word, nourish them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I personally believe that one of the greatest gift that any person can have is to have a child. To have the privilege and the opportunity to raise up a child in this world. Now, some are saying, you can say that because you didn't have any children, if you only know. And I understand, but I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic that if I ever had any children, Lord forgive me, But it's a great opportunity to have a child, a young mind, from the age, from the time they're in the mother's womb, to be singing to them while they're in the womb, reading to them, praying while they're in the womb, and when they're born, to be singing to them, and when they're the age of 1, 2, 3, to pray with them, to read the Bible with them, to kneel with them, particularly in the formative years of children, ages 1 to 6 or so, the formative years, because those are the years that really stay with children. Whatever they learn in those years, remain with them for eternity. Well, not for eternity, but for a long time on earth. What a great privilege, and what a great gift, what a great responsibility. Bring them up, first of all, he says, in the discipline of the Lord. In the time when Paul was writing, fathers were given the full extent and the full rights of the law to punish the children, to even execute the children when they disobey. But Paul says that discipline is part of nurturing children. Discipline. And discipline doesn't necessarily mean that one has to physically hurt children. Of course, the Bible says that, you know, if you use the rod, then it would not kill them. But I think we should be very careful here when it comes to discipline and children with the rod. I know that in my own country growing up, the rod was used. I never got the rod, neither at home nor in school. But it was used to discipline children. That we ought to be very careful as parents when you discipline your child. You should not hurt them physically. The word discipline here speaks of education, of training. Not just shouting to children, or not just talking down to them, or whipping them when they disobey. No. Training involves allowing children to make mistakes and teaching them why they ought not to do this or why they ought not to do that. Just like God does us. And when we discipline them, we should give them a reason why you're disciplining them. When you tell them to do something, tell them why. Just like Paul says in our text, children, obey your parents, and he gives the reason why it is right. So it's good to sit and talk with children instead of whipping them physically. That's not discipline. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know there are many parents who are waiting for the children to return to the ways they were taught when they were young. Because you are saying that you train up your child in the way that he or she should go. And they have departed. They have departed from the Lord. And so this verse does not mean much to you, because your child has gone astray. But that's what the scripture says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Just keep on trusting in the Lord. And you parents whose children have turned away from the Lord, Maybe, first of all, they were not ever saved. Maybe they have not come to know Christ. So let's pray for them that the Spirit of God will grab a hold of them and they will come to know Him. But if you have done your part in training your child or children in the way of Christ, then you have done your part, and God will do the rest. Because parents are not responsible for the decisions that children make when they reach age of accountability. Right? You're not responsible for that. But fathers, bring them up in the discipline, and secondly, the instruction. And the word instruction comes from the word that speaks of the mind. It has to do with the mind. It refers to training the children by word, teaching them by word. It speaks of admonishing children by word, exhorting them, not just telling them to avoid certain things, not just tell them not what to do, don't do this, but tell them what to do. Right? It's one thing for us to tell people or someone, don't do this. It's very easy for a parent to tell his or his child not to do this, don't do this. But then the other side is, do this. Exhort them, encourage them to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. And you know what? In the end, fathers will have to give an account. Mothers will have to give an account, but especially fathers, for obeying this command here to nurture the children in discipline and instruction of the Lord. But fathers, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart if your son has turned away. If your son maybe has left home and you have not seen him, or your daughter left home and you have not seen her for many years, and you don't even know where he or she is, give them over to the Lord. And it must be very difficult for parents in such situation, because every Christian parent wants his or her child. Every parent who is a Christian, every father who is a believer, every mother who is a believer who has children, desire for the children to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because it will protect them from many dangers in our world. The safest place for children to be is in the arms of Jesus. The safest place for parents to take their children is in the arms of Jesus. Not in the church, but in the arms of Jesus. And may I end by saying that children learn, first of all, in their homes. It is not sufficient for parents to send the children to church. That's good. But may I instruct and admonish you to teach them at home first. That's the first place of instruction, the first place of learning is in the home. Because it matters not what children might be taught in the church, they will eventually follow that which they learn at home, particularly that which they learn from their fathers. What a great privilege to be a parent, but a great responsibility. May the Lord encourage you. Keep up the fight, as we would see later on in chapter 6. It is a fight to raise children. It's a fight. And we'll see who we are fighting against, who you are fighting against. But don't give up. Continue in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that you have a community who are praying for you. And may God bless you as parents in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for every parent here this morning. I pray especially for any parent who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. May you draw them to yourself. May they come to know you. And I pray that you will encourage every parent who is discouraged, every parent who has been praying for their children to come to know Christ. I pray even for children who have lost their parents through death or any other thing, Lord. I just pray that you will encourage each one here this morning. And we thank you for being our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.